I've seen a lot of bad movies in my lifetime, but last night topped everything. It was 1 hour and 9 minutes, or maybe it was 109 minutes of torture. Straight torture. Civil War is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and it's a dangerous movie. We'll talk about it today, Fearless, at the movies. Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for joining me. Start jamming, slamming that 5-star rating over Apple. Start hitting the subscriptions and likes over YouTube. And go check out the exclusive extra Fearless content on Blaze TV. We'll have something special for you today there. Go to blazetv.com/fearless. Use the promo code Fearless and you can save $20 on your yearly subscription. Today we'll discuss, have you seen this men's summit with the stripper pole and, you know, the whole controversy? I think one of the ministers, Mark Driscoll, called the minister out and called the summit out. We'll get into that and we'll have some extra content for you guys. That's why you should get that Blaze TV subscription. But today's episode, today's Fearless at the Movies, today's discussion about the Civil War movie, it's brought to you by our good friends at Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to any of their boxes of 100% American meat and seafood. Use my promo code Fearless at GoodRanchers.com and save 10%. All right, Fearless at the Movies is going to feature Shamika Michelle, Anthony Walker, Kevin Donahue. You guys remember Kevin. He's one of our newest contributors. He was here with us last week. He'll be back in studio today with Anthony. We're going to discuss my Firestarter and this movie that I sat through last night. Let's get into it. The number one movie at the box office is a thinly veiled fantasy about assassinating Donald Trump. Civil War, written and directed by Alex Garland, isn't nearly as complicated, subtle, or apolitical as critics at the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Variety Magazine, The New Yorker, and everyone else suggest. The point of Garland's movie is simple. Killing Donald Trump is the most efficient and sensible way to end America's political violence. Or political chaos, I'm sorry. I've read a bunch of reviews. They all managed to avoid dealing with the obvious message of the movie. They wax on about how the movie reflects this nation's seething political divide and a not-so-distant future where January 6th insurrectionists trigger a bloody, chaotic civil war. The reviews waste a lot of time pretending that actress Kirsten Dunst's portrayal of a war photographer was the equivalent of Marlon Brando's portrait of a mafia don in The Godfather. Or the reviewers feigned that Garland did a masterful job of creating a narrative that avoids choosing a political side. The reviews, they all lie. Dunst's character was uninteresting and lifeless, and Garland definitely chose a side. To use a leftist term, Civil War is a dog whistle for Trump haters. The intent of the movie is to inspire someone or some force to kill Donald Trump. I'm not exaggerating. The movie ended with a black female soldier standing over a fictional U.S. president who refused to leave office. The female soldier shoots and kills the president. The soldier, she represented Fannie Willis, Letitia James, Kamala Harris, and all the Democratic woman kings willing to take any necessary step to stop Donald Trump. Ballot harvesting, assassination, whatever it takes. I sat inside the theater shocked. Shocked that this movie could be made, shocked that it dominated the weekend box office, grossing $25 million, outdistancing America's number two movie, some Godzilla flick, by $10 million. Shocked that alleged journalists could review the movie without acknowledging It's a Trump derangement manifesto. Shocked that the movie hasn't sparked intense outrage. Shocked that the script could be this stupid and disjointed. But then I remembered what has been done to art over the last four decades. Cinema has gone the way of rap music. A good beat and the right narrative conceal a lack of talent. Good camera work and the right narrative made The Shape of Water, the 2017 Academy Award winner. At the time, I thought The Shape of Water was the dumbest movie I'd ever sat through from start to finish. My date would not let me leave. I'm notorious for exiting movies. Civil War now tops my list. Critics are treating Civil War like a rap diss song. Garland is Tupac Shakur, and Civil War is the director's version of Hit 'Em Up, the infamous diss track Tupac released against rival Notorious B.I.G. and Puff Daddy. We know how that rap feud ended. Tupac and Biggie both died amid a hail of gunfire. For those of you unfamiliar with 1990s gangster rap music, here's a chorus to Hit 'Em Up. Here's the chorus to Hit 'Em Up. Grab your Glock when you see Tupac. Call the cops when you see Tupac. Who shot me? But you punks didn't finish. Now you're about to deal with the wrath of a menace. I hit 'em up. The best art depicts and predicts life. Tupac made that art that called for violence. Garland's art calls for violence against Trump. Everything the media accused Trump of doing on the afternoon of January 6, 2021, where he allegedly encouraged his supporters to invade the Capitol, Garland's Civil War movie does over the course of 109 minutes. Trump supporters, of course, are depicted as savages and racist. An early scene captures the band of good guy journalists engaging with three stereotypical rednecks at a gas station. The rednecks have two looters tied up, bleeding and hanging from some sort of outdoor building or barn or whatever. It's crazy, but one of the rednecks wears a cross around his neck. He's a Christian. Later in the movie, another Christian nationalist shoots and kills two Asian journalists for the crime of being foreigners. The Christian nationalist is filling a large grave site with dead bodies. I mean, I just want you to, let me make sure I explain that properly. The Christian nationalist who killed the two Asian guys for being foreigners, they show him dumping bodies into a large, massive grave site. They show him like dumping half dozen more bodies. And when they show you this grave site, it looks like a Holocaust scene. The point is clear. The America First movement is racist and anti-Semitic. This movie is embarrassing. If it continues to do well at the box office, it will speak to how effective academia and corporate media have been at demonizing ordinary American citizens and Donald Trump. The fact that the movie was made, released, and not pulled from theaters speaks to how desperately the establishment wants to assassinate Donald Trump. That is my Firestarter. They made a movie about assassinating the 45th president of the United States. And no one seems to care. And people are going to see this movie. It's number one at the box office last weekend. I read a bunch. I had to read five or six reviews just trying to say, is anybody going to call this movie out? Is anybody going to acknowledge what is plainly obvious? This movie is intended to inspire, legitimize, encourage someone to kill Donald Trump. That's the point of the movie. Oh, things would be so much better if we just killed the president. And oh my God, it would be awesome if one of these black woman kings kills the president. I can't. It was very difficult because 10, 15 minutes in, I was like, this is awful. how am I going to get through this? I want to talk about it on the show. I asked Shamika and Anthony and Kevin to watch this movie. I have to watch the movie so we can talk about it. It was painful sitting through that. When they get to the conclusion of the movie, or the climactic scene at the end where they kill the president, and you see this black female soldier, who, and again, it looks like Call of Duty, the way this whole thing is shot, and you got this black woman, she's the leader of this military group. It's all this feminist nonsense. But she's standing over the president and this journalist, and these journalists are portrayed as the heroes. I don't know what this journalist represented. Was he a writer? Is he a TV broadcaster? I don't know. But right before she killed the president, the guy, and again, the whole point, the movie was about that guy and three other people traveling from New York to D.C. to interview the president. And his question to the president before he's executed is, hey, I need a quote. I burst out laughing when this happened in the theater. And I was just like, the whole point of driving across from New York to D.C. and dealing with all this danger around was so you could say, hey, I need a quote. I mean, it's the people that made this movie, wrote this movie, do they know anything about journalism? It was ridiculous. But art has been so dumbed down. Our communication skills have been so dumbed down. We've been fed so many narrative lies that I guess this movie is working and will continue to work. And it's speaking to people at a certain level. I'm reading people in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, taking this movie seriously. And not offended by this movie. I left the theater depressed and baffled and just concerned. Like, this is where we've reached this point of the story where things are so bad that Hollywood can put out a movie begging someone to kill Donald Trump. No one acts surprised. No one acts offended. No one acts like it's a bridge too far. Wow. So we'll talk about this. We'll get Anthony and Shamika and Kevin. We'll get their take. We'll talk about this movie because I think it's important. And, you know, I love talking about movies. And we'll see if they had the same reaction as me. Before we get to them, I want to thank Patriot Mobile for being a sponsor of this show. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Founder Glenn Story and his team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your phone number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Jason or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code of Jason. Join me. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Jason. That's PatriotMobile.com/Jason or call 972-PATRIOT. I put my money where my mouth is. You guys know I've had this Patriot Mobile phone for more than a year now. It's been awesome. Join me. All right. Shamika Michelle, Anthony Walker, Kevin Donahue. It's more discussion. Fearless at the Movies. Next. Hello, Fearless Army. I'm Jason Whitlock, your leader. I'm going to spend 2024 discussing growth and sacrifice. Hard times are here. Harder times are coming. What has stopped American growth and caused a regression in fundamental freedoms and values? A lack of sacrifice. Our ancestors sacrificed for our benefit. We have not sacrificed to protect the progress they died for. No sacrifice. No freedom.
What impedes man's willingness to sacrifice? His ignorance, his perversion, his pride, his ingratitude, and his cowardice, his rejection of God. The Bible is a story about the power and the necessity of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the sun, rain, and fertilizer of growth. Growth is our life purpose. Grow in the knowledge, wisdom, fear, obedience, and reverence to the Most High. Growth requires sacrifice will be our theme for Roll Call 2.0 this summer, June 1, right back here in Nashville. We're excited to welcome you. Let me spend a minute explaining what G-R-O-W-T-H actually stands for us in the Fearless Army. The G is for game plan. In order to properly grow, it's essential we work from the strategic game plan spelled out in the Bible. The R, responsibility. As we grow as men, we understand and accept our responsibilities to God, family, and teammates. The O, ownership. We embrace ownership of our destiny. Outsiders do not determine our fate. The W, wisdom. We honor, value, and share the wisdom imparted to us by elders, coaches, and leaders. The T, trust. We must be worthy of trust. The reliability of a man's word defines him far more than popularity and material possessions. The H, humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That's straight from Proverbs 22:4. Come join us in Nashville as we talk about growth and sacrifice and how without sacrifice, there will be no growth. Roll Call 2.0 right here in Nashville, Saturday, June 1st. Very early in the movie, they show the fundamentals of a magical Negro.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hi, Anthony.
And so the first one is
slavery.
Client service first. And the client is white people. And their message is your life isn't about you. It's about white people.
Bad power.
Then they sell acceptable to white people. And it's about being really friendly so that white people like you.
Obey the law.
And then the third thing is be authentically black. And it's show white people the parts of yourselves that make them feel good.
I find that the African-American experience for me has been, for the most part, very good.
Welcome back. Fearless at the Movies. Shamika Michelle, Anthony Walker, Kevin Donahue. Joining me, Shamika, we'll go ladies first here. You've heard me rant and rave about this movie a little bit. I think it's the worst movie I've ever seen. What did you think?
I don't know if I'll give it the worst movie I've ever seen, only because I've watched some Tubi movies, and those are like really, really bad. But I was trying to stay awake and I thought, God, why has thou forsaken me? Like, I love working for you. I absolutely love it. But this movie was such torture that I thought, you know, maybe Jason just doesn't like me. 'Cause it was that bad.
What do you think of my assessment that the message of the movie was, hey, we should just kill Trump and things will be better?
Yeah, that's exactly what I got from the very beginning of the movie when they talked about the president was in his third term and just the whole Civil War talk, period. I've heard a lot of people talking about that, how we need to split. I've heard it on both sides, left and right. And it was just so many things that were apparent, like the when they killed. I'm sorry. Hopefully I'm not spoiling it for the people that haven't seen it. But when they shot the guy that was from Hong Kong or something, I think he said, yeah. And the guy goes, oh, China. He tried to say it just like Trump says China. And so I was thinking, oh, my God, like they just kept doing little digs. And it was so obvious for those of us that have really been paying attention over the last few years. Like, we see what you're doing. You're trying to say that we don't consider certain people or white people, you know, Trump followers, the MAGA crowd, don't consider certain people real Americans unless ... So it was just, it was very apparent and it was sickening.
Anthony, good movie, bad movie, awful movie?
It was bad. It was bad. I while watching it, I'm thinking, I looked at the ratings before I saw it, just the ratings, not the reviews, but the ratings. And I was thinking, okay, IMDb has it like a 7.6. And then midway through the film, I'm like, wait a minute. And then Rotten Tomatoes had it at like 82%, both crowd. And I'm like, okay, now come on. You know, it was disjointed to me watching it. I will say I didn't get as far as Trump, but I did get as far as the office, the presidency. Like at this point, the presidency has become just a figurehead. I mean, in some ways you can say that now, that it's kind of a figurehead. The party movement is so huge, so powerful. So I saw that piece, but it was slow and it was disjointed. And I struggled. I don't know. There was another movie, Shamika, that Jason had us to watch about the preacher and his family and stuff. This one might be on par of that one, like just bad.
Help me out.
I don't remember. It was a Peacock. It was on Peacock. We had to get Peacock at the time.
Oh,
come on,
yes.
Shamika, help me out. Him and his wife and all that
Regina
drama.
Regina something played in it. She played in Scary Movie, and they had the mom in there, Jason. Remember? He was the pastor, was the first lady, and she mimed in it. I can't think of the name, but
Honk,
you know they were.
Honk if you love Jesus.
Honk if you love Jesus. That's it. That's it.
I was at the theaters.
No, but I'm saying as far as what you had us to watch,
right.
This was about as bad as that one. Like we had to struggle through that one, and we had to struggle through this one. But you pick them, Jason. So, hey.
This is number one at the box office.
I hear you.
I was concerned, watching this movie, I was really concerned that if you guys liked it, I would have nothing in common with you. I was like, I sure hope these guys don't enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
I showed up early, I watched it entirely through, and I kept thinking I must have missed a part. I missed something, because they didn't have the context. I didn't know who the bad guy was, who the good guy was. I didn't know who I was rooting for. All I knew, I was following this ragtag group of press people through this weird alternative universe. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Hillary Clinton was starring as the war reporter.
Lee. Yeah.
Greta Thunberg was the busybody 15-year-old who was doing stuff she shouldn't have been doing.
Huh.
And then, I don't know, Pee Wee Herman was the guy driving the car. I don't know. It's just the over-emotional.
Pee Wee Herman, no, that's Chris Cuomo. I think that was Chris Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo, there we go. But it was, so it had an all-star cast. It was confusing. It was disappointing. Too much violence. It was not a good movie. It didn't have a story arc. There was no hero's journey. Mm-hmm. There was no classic, if you go back to the 80s and you watch Rocky or Superman or any of these movies, you left feeling, or Star Wars. Star Wars is a great example, good guy versus bad guy. Yeah. You knew who you were rooting for, and at the end, the good guys got medals and the bad guys lost, and you left there feeling good. I had to go home and get therapy from my wife for a few hours and talk about it. So,
but and I know Anthony's a movie junkie, and is interested in arcs and all. And so, what Kevin's talking about, though, I think is where movies and television have gone. There are no good guys and bad guys.
No,
it's just
they're trying. You know, I give them. I can see what I think they were trying to do. They were trying to, if you remember in Top Gun Maverick. We don't know who the opposition was, but we did still have a good versus bad. They were trying in this film to try to say, okay, here's an America that has just, okay, we've run through the party stuff, we've run through the factions, we've run through all of that, and this is where you have, but there is no good or bad. Both crowds are shooting. Both crowds are shooting at each other. Both are trying to take over the White House. It's like, okay, but what happens if this side wins? Or what happens if, yeah, you know, we don't know. So they were trying, and then even with the, they, you know, obscured the sides. So we don't know which one is this side or that side. It just made it so muddy that by the time you end and the climax of the end, it still doesn't make a difference. Okay, the president's gone, but now what? Right. We're still in a messed up country. It was horrible.
Anthony, do you remember when I told you why I didn't like 12 Years a Slave? And I was like, there's no love interest, there's no human emotion, it's just a bunch of torture scenes.
Yeah.
And that's like, and so watch this movie. And why do you care about any of these people?
Yeah.
What did they tell us about any of these people? And then, like, at the end, the climactic end, the lead character, Lee, she gets killed. The guy she's driving across country just walks past her dead body like, no big deal. Didn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah.
The little girl that she saved just gets up, doesn't acknowledge, like, hey, you just died trying to save me.
Yeah.
She just goes on, I gotta go take a picture. And I'm just like, there's no human emotion in this movie. It
which begs, I'm still, who's liking it? Like, who is, what are they getting from that is enjoying it? There was about 3 or 4 minutes as they lead up to the climax of just them fighting and taking pictures. This group shooting this group, you don't know what's happening, but that was a good 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, what is it? What's going on? As you look, talk about the scene where they shoot the friend right in front of them. He says he's from, you know, we're Americans, et cetera, and he shoots his friend. Even in that scene, there is a brief moment of grief, but we pick up and move on for the journey. There's not even a question of, wait a minute, maybe we've gone too far. Maybe this is it. You know, let's stop. Let's go back. They just kind of pressed on. It was, it lost me.
We got to go take these pictures.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, even
and then, who are they showing it to? Because there was
waiters, I guess.
There was what was it? A good section in Pennsylvania that didn't even know what I don't
wasn't say, acknowledging.
No. Right. It was just kind of life as normal. So I'm like, who? If these are the pictures you guys are sending out, who are they going to, and what are they doing with them?
In all fairness, though, I could have watched every single one of them get killed, and I wouldn't have felt anything at all. That's how bad it was. Like, just line the four of them up that were driving, and just shoot them all. Because the movie was so terrible that I didn't have any emotional connection to any of them. And I've watched movies where I felt like, oh my God, they died. Like the Titanic, when he just, you know, went off into the water, it was so sad. But these people, I could have watched them go down, drown, get eaten by sharks and whatever else was left, eaten by the little creatures, I would not have cared. So the fact that they were able to watch her die and just move on and go shoot a picture, that's how I felt. I would have watched each and every one of them die and felt nothing.
And this is why I made the point about connecting it to rap music. Like, this is a rap diss track. Mm-hmm. Rap music is very nihilistic. You listen to people talking about killing and shooting other people, and it's kind of no big deal. You don't even like, man, we got music out that's celebrating killing and it's no big deal. And they've now done this in movies in terms of like love,
right?
Like, which is a big part of the purpose of life, is completely eliminated from the art that they're showing us. And I'm just going to connect it to like to all these things we're talking about on this show. When I told you like Diddy, and nihilism that the music is promoting. now they're, and they've been doing it for a long time, but, you know, it's just now it's more in your face. In the movies, they're giving you a very nihilistic worldview. They want us not to care about each other, not to care about the characters they put in front of us. And it's working. It that's what's separating us. And that's why, like, Hollywood and all of that, like, it's like a real enemy and it's a real problem. And it's, you know, they show a group of journalists that are, you know, and again, I've been a journalist all my life. I don't recognize these people in terms of, and again, I've never been a war journalist, but you're not going to tell me that I'm driving in a SUV that gets shot up and I'm going to grab my camera and say, let me go take pictures. I don't, man or woman, like that, when she hops out of her car with the camera because their SUV just got shot up at that little park or whatever they're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so unrealistic, and it's so, like, fear would be an emotion anybody would feel, but, and you're certainly not going to convince me that a woman would feel no fear. Wow. Car just got shot up, no fear, just hopped, let me get my camera out. She's not trying to defend herself. It's just, I just want to document some pictures. The other thing, Kevin,
the press were the heroes. Like, they were the courageous ones. They were the valiant ones. They were the ones that were going to save the world by interviewing the president. So it was just really interesting to watch Hollywood prop up Hollywood to be the heroes of the movie. Mm. And
maybe that's why it's getting such good reviews, because the media likes the way it's being portrayed in the movie.
They're the heroes. And the only emotion you saw was the erratic emotion of that guy that was driving the car at the end, the screaming.
Latino guy.
Yeah, he's just screaming. It wasn't appropriate emotion. It was inappropriate, chaotic emotion. And that was the main theme I saw, was pure chaos. There was no order at all, just chaos. And to go back to your point, was the photojournalist, the award-winning photojournalist, was she married? Did she have kids? Was the other guy married? You didn't know. There was no family. There was nothing. It was just these bizarre people out roaming this alternate universe.
Yeah, there. You would, if you're in that type of danger, you're in a war zone, you're in prison or whatever, you communicate with your family, hey, I'm okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But again, this is right from the same vein that I'm talking about, like 12 Years a Slave. I was like, and I used Titanic as a point. I was like, man, if you really want to tell a powerful story about some historic event, you get the audience emotionally tied to the story with a love story. I go, look what they did to Titanic. If they had just told the story of Titanic without the love story, it's not nearly as popular. It doesn't have near the impact. And I was like, they just told this man in 12 Years a Slave, ripped from his wife and kid, and at the very beginning of the movie, then they never show him again. He's not longing for his wife. Anyway, I see this in movies across the board. I see this in art. I made the argument last 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I talked about Diddy. I connected it to Tucker Carlson's point that he was making about just our architecture, the buildings, it's nothing is as beautiful and as powerful or as awe-inspiring in architecture now. They just putting up little walls, and it's ugly and it's dark, and it's supposed to make you not care about yourself, think life has no purpose. Shamika, I want to transition and pivot to, and I certainly want to hear Anthony's opinion on this too, but we'll start with you because you'll be... likely, I'm predicting you're going to be funny about this, but I really want your take. There's one black man in the movie. He can barely walk. He's completely harmless. There's no reason for anybody to carry him into a war zone. He's 70 years old, 300 and some odd pounds. He'd be in hospice somewhere if there was an actual war going on. And there was part of me, it's like, oh my God, this is why I gotta lose some weight, because I don't wanna be this guy. That was first thought. And then the second part was like, why is our only role in this movie to play someone who can barely get out of bed, never gets out of the car. They're traveling across from New York to D.C., sleeping outside sometimes. And this guy never comes out of his button-down shirt and suspenders, occasionally throws on a sport coat. I just was offended by this guy's role in the movie. It's like, oh, that's the best they could. And again, I hate to think that way, but it's like, that's the best portrayal we can get of a black man in this movie. And then when we get to the end of the movie and they bring in the woman king soldier that kills the president or whatever, and she's out there leading the fight and telling people what to do, I just, for me, it was just more of that subtle messaging of like, black man, you sit in this car and mind your business. All the rest of us are going to do the heavy lifting. You have no real role here. Shamika, am I making too much of this?
No, Jason, I thought what you were going to say is that you were offended that he didn't eat, because how did he get to that size, you know, to start with, without eating? This movie was just so unrealistic. But then in some ways, I'm thinking, is it really art imitating life? Because that's kind of what we see when we see some of these fight videos. People are just pull out their phone and start to record, opposed to actually caring about the person getting slaughtered in the video. So what we are actually seeing in real life is what they're portraying in movies. And I'm guessing, I don't know if art is imitating life or life is imitating art, but the way we cast black men to the side and don't care, and we act as if they have no real role, that's exactly what this movie portrayed. And that woman at the end who was, like you said, this soldier, that's what we're doing to black women every day when we lift them up as if the whole black community would just fall apart if it weren't for black women, and the Democrats saying they're the backbone of the Democrat Party and they need to be paid more. I mean, it's just so much that we are doing to push black women and to press black men down. Movies that come out, The Woman King, any other thing, they're showing what we have in real life.
The two things I took, Jason, now, you got to give them credit. You got to give them credit. The black man lasted longer than 15 minutes.
I got to be honest with you. That ran across my mind in the movie. It actually did. It's like, oh, they waited to kill this dude.
He lasted longer than 15 minutes in the movie. And then he was a part of their saving grace towards the end. He's the one that rescued them out of the, you know, shootout.
One of the most unrealistic scenes in history.
Hey, Ovette car and everything. I did see, you know, in both of those, I saw some subtle messaging. I did see perhaps, you know, in their best effort, here's a guy who represents wisdom, but again, we sit him to the side, you know, we put him to the side. We don't hear from him.
Oh, you couldn't have been on the trip?
Well, no, yeah, I could have been.
You couldn't have represented wisdom.
Exactly, but that's...
And what are you're about 175 pounds.
I'm just saying.
You could have actually helped in some situation. You could have gotten out of the car, Anthony.
But maybe, exactly. Every time they turn to him, he's like leaning over, he's trying to rock to get, he can't even turn around and look. Okay, all right.
So, and he didn't eat.
But they tried to do... not through the whole movie, so he could have lost something. But I think that's what they were trying to do. And then I did get some messaging with, you know, at the end, the black woman kills the president. Like, that, there's something to that. Obviously, with the whole movie, they're trying to kill him. But there was something there. But again, you just got to give them credit.
Was that Fannie Willis or Letitia James that did the
shooting? I thought it was Fannie Willis. But I was hoping that guy was going to be like a James Earl Jones figure and say something wise, mm-hmm. like in Field of Dreams, where if you build it, they something.
Something.
But there was nothing to it. I mean, this movie was flat, dead the whole entire way, just with a ragtag group of characters. So yeah, that was my hope, but it didn't happen.
All right, well... I'm not, go ahead.
Let me say this. I'll say, when you look at this movie at the end of the day, when you take out real love, you also are taking out God. And so this movie doesn't have a real love interest. It removes God, and just again, as a display, as exhibit A, you take that out of the dynamic, you get a dystopian, horrible world situation that even if it turns out, it's still going to be, you know, a terrible situation. So again, we got to put obviously God back in it, but we also got to put real love, not this same gender stuff, but the love that God prescribes.
Did you catch the three rednecks at the gas station, the guy that goes back and shows the guys hanging, did you catch him? He was wearing a cross?
Yeah, I did.
And they have a habit of doing this in terms of like, and you know, this is across the board. I had this criticism of, if y'all remember, and you got to really stretch here, but the Daily Wire's Western movie with Gina Carano, one of my big complaints was, the person who quoted the Bible and was a believer was the bad guy in that movie. And I was like, the Daily Wire, I thought they were on our team in terms of like, why are they showing the Christian person as the evil person? What are we doing? We're making the same movies as Hollywood. And I just saw another example of it here that I think intentional, And not subtle. Here's this depraved lunatic that's savaging these two people, and they put a cross on him.
Yeah, and the, you know, in the Rules for Radical by Saul Alinsky, they talk about ridicule, always ridicule. And so what we had here with these rednecks were the deplorables. We got a solid definition and an image in the movie of who the deplorables are. Mm-hmm. So the bucket of deplorables or basket of deplorables, that's who these people were. When that guy went to follow that young girl down to that car wash, you knew in your mind, like, oh no, this isn't going to be good. There's going to be like a rape scene or something like this. Yeah. And so these were the deplorables. They defined them in the movie, and it was clear. So they were somewhat of the bad guy in the movie, but you still couldn't tell. You still couldn't tell who was right or who was wrong or who was good guy or bad guy.
Shamika, I'll give you a final thought if you got one. Yeah.
Now, I was just thinking maybe we should do our own movie, you know, showing how the matriarchy in the Black community has really destroyed it and call it Big Back Mountain. I think we should do that and just see how that goes.
You know what's funny? And thank you, Shamika. And we'll end this portion on this note. I can remember a year when I moved out to L.A. in 2010. Maybe it was even before. This around 2007, 8. I was very naive about what types of movies Hollywood would make. And I thought, well, I'm going to go out here. You know, I'm this decorated writer. I got all this momentum. I'm going to go out here and try to sell a couple of movie scripts. And I met with HBO, met with a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And they all thought it was laughable. And I look back in retrospect, or laughable is too strong, there was no interest. I look back in retrospect and think about like the main script I was presenting them was something called The Good Life. And it was about, it was some kind of takeoff a little bit on my life. It's about this character, Eugene Good, who was this journalist, and it was exposing just like how corrupt the journalism industry was. And again, it featured this Black male character, lead character, Eugene Good, who represented the good life. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, had some faith and had a worldview and a set of standards and morals. And it wasn't until, let's say I went out there pitching this around in 2008, probably took me to like 2015 where I was like, oh my God, they don't make movies like this. This has no chance. This dude's heterosexual. He falls in love with his assistant and all this other stuff. And it took me a lot. But I went out there very naively, like, oh, man, I got a great story, and they'll be interested in it. And then I figured out, like, no, I'm promoting the wrong message. This doesn't fly out in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll do some Tennessee Harmony. But before we do that, I want to thank our great friends at Good Ranchers. Tired of your favorite cut of beef chicken costing more, weighing less each time you buy it? I've got a sizzling solution for you. Good Ranchers Price Lock Guarantee. This is the only price lock on 100% American meat you can find, and you don't want to miss it. during their April Price Shield campaign. Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to any one of their boxes full of 100% American meat and seafood that they ship right to your door. Good Ranchers is where I get 100% American meat I can trust that's tender and full of flavor every time. With meat prices continuing to go up and quality at the store going down, Good Ranchers Price Shield will not only save you hundreds, but also help you put 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood on your plates that you can trust. Plus, get an extra 10% off your subscription with my promo code FEARLESS at GoodRanchers.com today. What I really love about Good Ranchers is their commitment to transparency. They believe that you have the right to know exactly what's in your food. They're amazing supporters of this show, so support them and take the mystery out of the meat you buy. This exclusive Price Shield offer ends in the month of April. So if you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to GoodRanchers.com. Use my promo code FEARLESS for 10% off your subscription. Free express shipping and a price lock guarantee until 2026. GoodRanchers.com, American meat delivered. Come back with some Tennessee Harmony next. Back to beef as I walk you through my top 50 media beefs of all time. Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity beefer. It's like, Randy, are you asleep at the wheel? Big lips are in style. I'd love to squash this beef. I mean, I was not real happy at all. I was less than thrilled. I was displeased. And now we have beef. Have you ever wondered just exactly how it is that our politicians enter into public service making moderate salaries, but then end up walking away with an astonishing amount of money? Millions. Where are all those tens of millions of dollars coming from? And while they're busy earning all that money, who's actually doing the job we sent them there to do in the first place? We all learned from an early age that the best way to get rich in America was to get a degree, start a business, or maybe take a job on Wall Street. To work hard and save even harder so that we could make a better life for ourselves and for our children. Turns out, it's way easier than that. All you have to do is get elected to Congress. Go check out Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, available now only on Blaze TV. Go to fearlessoriginals.com and use the promo code WhitlockOriginals for $30 off your annual subscription. Let me run that back one more time. Go to fearlessoriginals.com. Use the promo code WhitlockOriginals for $30 off your annual subscription. Go check out Bought and Paid For. I've seen it. It's great. It's informative. It will let you know that politicians, no matter which side of the aisle they're on, they're ripping us off. All right, let's move on to some Tennessee Harmony. Anthony Virgil and Kevin Donahue still with us. Anthony, if you get us started with a prayer.
Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it guides us each and every day. Father, help us to constantly read and study your word, to live by it, and to share it with others. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gentlemen, I didn't know this until this week, but Virgil has a side hustle where he, you know, performs at men's conferences. I did not know this, but we've discovered some video of. Anyway, let me move on. Well, I had to take a shot early. If I fire first, it kind of puts you on the back pedal. And perhaps you'll say something positive about me. But let me start with the promo of this men's conference. If any of you have been paying attention over social media, there was this conference that's kicked up a lot of controversy and a strong reaction from people. But I want to first show you how they were promoting this men's conference. Let's play SOT number two.
mentality and the mindset, I'm still gonna fight.
Ready for anything.
All right, so that's a Christian men's conference that I would assume is trying to promote masculinity. And so here's how they started out that conference. We'll play, I believe, SOT number 6. And this is what sparked a lot of controversy. Let's play the clip. So that's a little Circus Soleil, a bit for a Christian men's conference. And I think, was this Christian, was it at the Flamingo Hotel on the Strip in Las Vegas? I'm not sure, but Virgil will have the details. Where did they book you, Virgil? anyway, a pastor, Mark Driscoll, who was promoted as one of the speakers, he took the stage and objected. And you know, called them out, said that there was a Jezebel spirit. We didn't play you all the clip, but the guy started out with his shirt on. He rips his shirt off. He gets on what looks like a stripper pole, or could certainly someone could mistake it for one. And what it just didn't seem consistent with a Christian men's conference. And then I believe the criticism was directed at John Lindell. Mm-hmm. And he has responded to Mark Driscoll, and well, let's play those comments, because the Driscoll called him out on stage, and John Lindell said, "No, you're done here, get off stage," and the guy exited the stage or got off. But let's play SOT number 1.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the Word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus cried, "Okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you."
Thank you.
시청 비밀은 와
I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If he wanted to say it, he could say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him. But we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle this.
All right, so I set it up a little bit inappropriate. So the first thing we saw was Mark Driscoll calling out John Lindell in the conference on stage. And then we saw John Lindell come on stage and defend himself and use the book of Matthew and blah, blah. So we've got a couple of experts here. I'm pretty sure Virgil knows Mark Driscoll, if I'm reading Virgil's Twitter feed properly. Maybe he knows both groups or both parties. But so, Virgil, I'm going to let you fire first. Your initial thoughts on... What, you got a problem with Mark Driscoll? You got a problem with the men's conference? Where do you come down on this?
Now, this issue is multifaceted. I mean, from the get-go. One, I know Mark Driscoll. This is kind of his shtick. In 2013, John MacArthur had a conference called Strange Fire. Mark Driscoll made his way to that conference and did something very similar out in the parking lot of that conference, selling his book and trying to disrupt things at that conference. He's been a pastor, known in Reformed circles. He was a part of a movement called the Young, Restless, and Reformed for about a decade. He was known for his brash kind of talk, his straightforward talk to men, but it eventually would get him removed from the church as he kind of displayed this hyper masculinity in his approach. Pastoral leadership there, elders at his church, would eventually remove him. There were issues of bullying tactics and issues related to him being threatening to people. So that was one of the reasons why he was removed from Mars Hill Church there. It was a massive church. 13,000 people at one time were there, had multi-campuses. So I'm very familiar with Mark Driscoll and his antics. He's since then kind of walked off of the stage and then reemerged in more charismatic circles. And so I'm aware of him. I know who he is and what he's about. This is kind of what he does. And so I was not at all surprised by it. The other issue, and I won't take up all the time. I'll let the other guys jump in. The other issue was what was actually happening at the men's conference. If I'm at a men's conference and a grown man is on the platform and he takes off his shirt, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm on my way home. I wouldn't have made it to the point where Mark Driscoll rebuked the crowd because I'd have been gone long before we ever got to that point. As soon as I saw this circus mentality that's around attracting men to church is absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely flawed, and it needs to be abandoned.
Anthony?
I'll pick up where Virgil leaves off. I do, in my ministry, lots of men's conferences, men's events, et cetera. And what I have found in my experience, even as a minister of a church, men are really attracted by the Word of God. Mm-hmm. They are attracted by the objective truth that God gives, the divine truth that God gives. That's what they're attracted to. The antics and all of that kind of stuff, that may catch a few stragglers, but real men are, because we get all of that stuff on a daily basis. So that would have been issue number one. If I'm really trying to draw men, I'm going to tell them it's the Word. We're coming to discuss the Word. We're coming to discuss prayer. We're coming to bond with brothers. That's the attractor. Now, if you're saying, hey, I'd love to come, but we don't have enough motorcycles and boxing and swords and stuff for me to, then you don't want to come with this because we're coming to bring the word. So that would be my issue in terms of how it's marketed. And I'm not saying that they probably don't do some of that stuff there, but you can see from the promo, the draw is look at the masculine stuff we have. And instead of, hey, we're leading with the word, that would be number one. But number two, just from the bit that I know about Mark Driscoll and his antics, this would have been, again, doing men's conferences. I know who's going to be speaking at conferences that I go to, that I agree to. When whoever invites me to come, hey, we'd like you to come speak at our event. We're going to have such and such, such and such. As they update you, I know the roster. I know who's going to be there. I know whether they have, I have, you know, some of this in mind. So if I have an issue with a, you know, gay stripper who's going to do this pole thing or whatever, sword swallowing, I know that before. And I'm saying, hey, guys, listen, I don't agree with that piece. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. Do you not see issue with this from a word standpoint? And if we do, if we don't have an issue with that, then I'm not going to be able to make this one. Appreciate you for the invite, but I'm not going to be able to do it. So Driscoll had several opportunities prior to this to express if this is something that was really solid to him. I don't agree with this. I take my issue with, again, with the conference itself that has to lean into that to draw men. But in the end, it all turns into a publicity stunt. And I'm wondering, where is God or Christ glorified in it?
Yeah, I think we're looking at a perversion or a subversion of masculinity.
Yes. You know,
motorcycles aren't masculine. Mm-hmm. They're just a means of transportation. Shooting guns, boxing, fireworks. All this stuff isn't masculine. Being masculine is taking care of your family.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's masculinity. Getting a job, contributing to your culture, contributing to your church. That's pure masculinity. When I think of masculinity, I think of my grandfather, who was a World War II hero, took care of his wife, raised his kids, you know, had his Christmas tree farm. I look at my father, who raised four kids. That's the model of masculinity for me. And if I'm looking at it from a spiritual perspective, I want to look at Christ.
Amen.
Who was Christ, and who were the apostles who risked their lives to preach about Christ?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it, is this good old-fashioned or maybe new-fashioned American subversion of what masculinity isn't. Mm-hmm. And really what it is we have to look towards Christ.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue this conversation with some fearless extra content. I'm going to, because there's some other parts of this, I think John Lindell came out with a statement saying that, like, when you've been anointed, you shouldn't be criticized. We'll play that clip and we'll have some discussion about that. But I want to use this as an opportunity, and I'm sorry, it's very self-serving of me, but I'm telling you up front, this is self-serving, and so judge me if you want. Come to roll call, because, again, we're not going... And if roll call 3, roll call 4, roll call 5, if it ever moves away from, we're going to have some speakers and we're going to have some music celebrating Jesus Christ and we're going to have some barbecue. If it moves away from any of that, call me out and say, Whitlock, you're a clown. You know, I'm going to play you this clip. You said you'd never do that. And so, because my vision, our vision, you know, because Virgil's involved, Anthony's involved, TJ Moe's involved, John Rich is now involved. Our vision for our men's summit is let's come together and celebrate Jesus. Let's come together and hear some interesting people give pointers, give encourage, advice, wisdom on how we can serve Jesus. We can celebrate and serve, and we can eat because I like to eat. And so food, music, and coming together to talk about Jesus is what roll call's always going to be about. And so that was, when I saw this, I was like, this is Circus Soleil. I can go to Vegas for that. That's why you hop on a flight and go to Vegas or go to Broadway or wherever mm-hmm. they put on those type of shows. I don't understand where Circus Soleil, and I've been to many Circus Soleil shows. I never thought of it as manly. I never thought of it, you know, and it's kind of inspiring. To look, man, look at these guys are in that good of shape and their core is that strong or whatever. That sounds like a gym video. I'm sure Anthony could do some of that stuff. Anthony's in great shape, but so is Kevin. Yeah. Virgil, not so much.
Well.
But anyway, I want you guys that are Blaze subscribers to stick with us because we're going to go a little bit more in depth on this. You guys can go to blazetv.com/fearless, use the promo code fearless, and you can save $20 on your yearly subscription. Now we're going to queue up some Harmony. And for those of you that are Blaze subscribers, we're going to continue. We're going to go more in depth on this conversation. The rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow.
How did we end up so divided? Stop fighting and stand tall. We used to be a nation, one united. Now we're headed for downfall. God, let your light shine down. What we need more than anything now, harmony. Let's make a simple vow. Let's come together now. Harmony. Put all your weapons down. Love one another now. Harmony. Time for us to wake up. Choose love, my sister, my brother. See through the lies they tell us. Cause together we're so much stronger. God, let your light shine down. What we need more than anything now. Harmony. Let's make a simple vow. Let's come together now. Harmony. Put all your weapons down. Love one another now. The enemy won't let it get to me. Open up your eyes and see.